just as unexpected to me as it is to you. I come down, I have to confess that I kind of played the part of the hypocrite. I come just a little bit late. I said, Billy Neville will be preaching when I get there, so he won't say a word to me. He'll go right ahead. And I come in the door, Billy said to me, he said, Brother Neville's already preaching. He's just in time. And I said, fine. Walked in, he said, I haven't started preaching yet. I just kind of wait. So I thought, well, no boots. I said, I know how it is to preach two or three times a day. It kind of wears you out. We know that.
Yeah.
Especially when they're young like we are, you know, young fellows. It doesn't take long, so we're kind of together as brothers, and we kind of hold our shoulders together.
Yeah.
And our hearts together, our notions together,
yeah,
so we can work together for the kingdom of God. And we like to be together with you. It's a grand thing. So I just asked the Lord to give me a little text there, something to kind of get started off. Don't know what I'm going to say yet, but we just get started. And then wherever he leads us. It is true that I was supposed to begin a six-day meeting in Fairbanks, Alaska, beginning the 15th. But I don't think I'll be able to get up there at this time because I have another appointment I'm going to over in British Columbia. So I don't think I'll be able to get up this time. They want to organize a businessman's chapter, Christian businessman. I certainly solicit and desire your prayer for the oncoming meetings that we're trying to prepare for now. And I had an invitation a few days ago of something that sounded good to me. And I don't know whether it's the Lord in it or not. I'll just have to wait and find out. A businessman wanted me to come to Phoenix in January and go to every church one night all through the city of Phoenix and then have a convention afterwards. That sounded kind of interesting to me because it would give an opportunity for me to get to speak to the churches and to all the ministers. Usually the people think about me because I'm so wrapped against organizations that I'm against the man that's in the organization. I am not that by no means. I'm for the man. It's just like if I seen a man coming down the river here in a boat, and that boat was full of leaks, and I noticed, and know that boat would never be able to go through the ripples down there, I'd be screaming and condemning that boat just as hard as I could, but not the man in the boat. I'm condemning the boat. I know the boat won't make it, and I know the organization won't make it. But I know the man in there will make it if you just step out.
Yeah.
It's like if you had an old car and he was going up a mountain, and I know when he started down the other side, you had no brakes. I would be against the man screaming against him. It's not him, it's the car that he's in. He's going to get hurt. And that's about the organization. I think the people that holds on to those organizations as if it was God himself, and they leave off the word of God just to hold the organization. Well, when they do that, I'm afraid they're going to make a vital mistake.
Amen.
And it's not that I've got anything against the individual man, but it's the boat that he's riding in, you see.
Amen.
I'm sure won't make it. The organization will never make it, but Christ will.
Amen.
So just step out of the leaky boat of organizationism into the safe ship of Zion, the old ship that's never failed yet to land in time, Christ. And that, thank you, would give me an opportunity to get to speak to those men. Now, I thought maybe tonight it's communion night, and I hear they've had a baptism and going to have another. I like to come down for communion. I missed it the last time not being here. I missed it, and I knew this was the first Sunday, so I made preparations to be here so I could be in communion for tonight. For I truly think that it's the duty of every Christian to take communion. The Bible said, if you take this not, you have no part with me. And I believe that it is a showdown time for the Christian. If we do not take it, we have no part with him. And if we take it unworthily, then we are guilty of the body and death of Christ. So it gets to a place where it keeps the Christian prayed up when he comes to communion. We should come reverently, solemnly, sacredly, walking up, confessing all of our wrongs, praying one for the other. Not only that, but we should feel, if there's a brother or sister among us that we feel is just a little bit out of line somewhere, our hearts ought to be burdened for that person on communion night especially, to see them if they'll be able to walk up and take communion and not be condemned with the world, because they are our brothers and sisters. Now, for the last few weeks, two weeks, going on three, I haven't done very much speaking. I've just been resting, or this is kind of a little rest season for me before the big push. Here I'm going to never speak of these predictions amongst the politicians and men who really have understanding of those things about an atomic war close at hand would last from December to January. Well, it just had this about right. They declare it and get it started, and then a couple bombs, and that would settle it. So the nation cannot survive an atomic war. We just could not do it. But that doesn't alarm the Christian, or it shouldn't alarm the Christian. We should be ready at any minute, waiting for our Lord to come. And oh, many times, see, this is not tape. This is just here at home. There's no tape, so you don't have to watch what you're saying about going to someone else or so forth. It's just the home folks. I tell you what I've been doing. I've been going squirrel hunting. But I haven't been doing very good. There isn't too many squirrels. And I'm going to Alaska now, sheep hunting. And maybe some persons might, a lot of people, you can't say that on a tape or something, because there's many people who don't believe in hunting at all. And but I always notice, if them that don't believe in hunting, just bring them a piece of meat, and they're very well satisfied with it. And like a lady one time told me, she said, "Brother Branham, do you mean to tell me that you hunt rabbits up there?" "Yes, ma'am." "Now, I'm not talking about the precious souls who've gone on." And she said, "Oh, that's ridiculous. You shouldn't shoot those rabbits." So then the season was in order, the same lady said, "Would you bring me a couple of those rabbits?" He said, "They're the finest things I ever eat." I said, "Well, I guess that's what I call culture, see?" And someone said, "What do you mean?" I said, "That lady has culture." I said, "Culture is someone who hasn't got nerve enough to kill a rabbit, but can eat it after someone else has killed it." That's what she called culture. I'm a conservationist. I do not believe in killing and wasting. I teach my boys, men who are hunting with me, never take nothing unless you're fixing to eat it. See? Leave it alone. Don't shoot a bird just for a target. See, that's not right. You got a target, send it up out there and shoot at it. It's not here for that purpose. You can waste it, it's just like wasting anything else. It isn't right to do it. Shoot animals for our targets. You're not going to the mountains, man. There isn't so much going up there for go hunting. I'm going there to get alone with God. Some of you, if you'll notice, my greatest experience I have is when I'm out hunting, when I meet God.
Amen.
Of all my experiences, I never had one like I had the other morning right up here going squirrel hunting. I've seen many things in my life, signs and wonders and so forth, but that struck me stronger than anything that I've ever had yet. Just imagine now, just about the time of the break of day, raining, solid, cloudy all over, and see standing in front of you, rising up from like a cup sitting on a hill, sitting there, three rainbows rising higher and higher, until you were so numb all over you could hardly speak, and walk close to it and hear him speak and confirm the very message that you're preaching to be the truth.
Amen.
The Jesus of the New Testament is Jehovah of the Old. He just changed his veil.
Amen.
Well, just studying that, I find out that same word where he changed his countenance in the Greek did mean changing his mask. Not exactly his veil, but his mask. It comes to the place he was transformed, see? That means he changed his way. He was God Jehovah. And God Jehovah changed himself from a spirit and became a man. He's the same Jehovah God, which that was the Father, and this is the Son, being the same person. And how then he gave me something to speak. If the Lord's willing, I aim to be at that same tree in the morning, about daylight. And I hope he appears to me again. I trust that he will, so that I can know what to do. I've got a burden on my heart for the people. As I see the hour approaching and know that people are not ready, and a lot of my loved ones, I don't know what to do or say. And I'm going up to see what he'll tell me. So be in prayer for me. Then I leave tomorrow afternoon or Tuesday morning. A brother here in the church and I are leaving for British Columbia. And going out with a group of Pentecostal ministers. It's a sponsor of the trip. It doesn't cost me one penny. And they sponsored the trip and got the guide. And the guide is a Pentecostal brother filled with the Holy Ghost. And then I've got some people to baptize in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, some trappers and things while I'm up there. Norwegian trappers and so forth that says, through these tapes that went out and seen the light, wants me to baptize them in the name of Jesus Christ. And the head of the Ministerial Association of British Columbia, I'm to meet him next Saturday evening at the Pine Lodge at Dawson Creek, British Columbia, and he is hungry and thirsty to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You see, it ain't always good at honey, friend.
Hallelujah.
I want to baptize this guy, and every preacher that goes with me this time, in the name of Jesus
Christ.
So you pray for me, you see, which I know is true. It makes my heart hunger and thirst to see God. Now, before we approach the Word, I won't take too much of your time. Just teach a little bit out of some scripture so we can get a place to find where we can go to praying and getting at least somebody standing in. Pardon me, just somebody a little closer say it. I didn't hear just what the brother said. Dedicate his baby? Certainly, my brother. Yes, sir. Bring your baby right up.
Amen.
We'll be glad to do that. And I believe in this now, so that I might explain it to the people before they come. Is Brother ready? All right, if you'll come to the piano for us. Now, many people sprinkle these little babies. And they call it infant baptism. Now, if your church does that, that's all right. But you see, if they do, it's the order of the church. It is not a scripture. The scripture does not support baptizing or sprinkling in any manner. There's no one ever sprinkled in the Bible. Everybody was baptized by immersion in the name of Jesus Christ. But now the babies in the Bible, they brought them up and dedicated them to the Lord. They brought little children and dedicated them to the Lord, gave them to the arms of the Lord Jesus. All right, sister, bring your little one on. And any other ones, got the little ones that wants them dedicated, well, we'd be glad to do that. Make it a dedicational service for our little babies.
Amen.
Now, Jesus, in the scripture, in this church here, we have mixed up organizations of all kinds, some of them Protestant, some Catholic, and even have Jews that come in here, this Orthodox Jews. That's the reason we strictly call ourselves interdenominational. And now, so that you would understand, we try at this church to be a scriptural church, the same with the Bible. Wherever the Bible says anything, we follow that right exactly that way. Now, the first church, and all Christians and new ministers will admit that this is the history of the first church. We all know that. This is exactly what took place. I was speaking to a priest, a Catholic priest who's up here on the road recently, and he said, Mr. Brandon said, are you a non-Catholic or a Protestant? I said, a Protestant. He said, then you protest us. I said, no, sir. I do not protest the people. It's the church, the doctrine of the church. He said, do you call yourself Baptist or Presbyterian? I said, no, sir, just a Christian. And he said, well, where do you form your form of doctrine? To be a Christian, you have to have a basic to form a doctrine. I said, that is true. I said, it's the Bible. Well, he said, that's the history of the Catholic Church. And I said, well, is that the apostles were Catholics? He said, yes, sir. I said, all right, I'm going to admit that that's right. I said, then why don't you also stay with the Scripture? He said, you see, Christ gave the church power to change the Scripture anytime they want to. Well, I said, then you've changed it and got it what you got it today. He said, yes, sir. I said, then I want to ask something. Then Christ must not be pleased with it, because upon the first church, he poured out the Holy Ghost. They healed the sick and raised the dead and cast out devils and done great mighty miracles under the doctrine of the first Catholic Church. And it hasn't been seen in the Catholic Church since they changed the doctrine. Now let's go back and be original Catholic. Let's go back and be what the Bible says, what they were. Christ walked with them. That's the reason, friends, that we try not to condemn any church, any people in the churches, but we try to keep it just as the Bible says. Now in the Bible, there never was a baby ever baptized. There never was a baby sprinkled anywhere in the Bible. But here's what in the Bible it said, They brought little children to Jesus that he might put his hands on them and bless them. And he said, suffer little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. Now that's exactly true. Now, therefore, we bring the little children and offer them up from the mother's arms of the Father to our heavenly Father and give them in dedication. On all deepest of sincerity, my children, I've got two yet that has never been baptized as yet because they've just been dedicated. I got a baby in glory that was just dedicated, not baptized, because baptism is for remission of sin. See, to show that you have repented, that baby has done nothing to repent for. It's a baby just born here in the world. It has no power of coming here. Then it has no sin. When Christ died at the cross, he died to take away the sin of the world. And so this baby has done something to repent for the blood of Jesus Christ making atonement. But now the mother and father, parents, has the right to bring the baby and offer back to God the baby that was given to them by God. Hannah in the temple, she promised she was barren, she was old, she had no children. She prayed so sincerely at the altar till the priest walked out and accused her of being drunk. She was screaming and crying at the altar for God to give her a baby. And she said, God, if you'll give me a baby, I'll bring it back to this place and give it to you. Mother, that's the way you got your baby. God give you your baby. It's just as much as to give Hannah her baby. And now you're bringing your babies back tonight to the temple, just like Hannah did little Samuel, and dedication service. Now we dedicate and give your baby back by prayer to the God who gave it to you. And I pray that these little boys and girls who are standing here tonight will be prophets and prophetesses like Samuel was of old to the Lord, and you're giving them back. Now, if the audience will bow their head just a moment. Most loving and gracious God, we approach thy throne of grace and mercy this hour for the generation that's coming after we are gone. These little fellows who stand in their holding tonight in their mother's arms and father's arms, they are the seed of tomorrow's race. To be sure that they get the right start, these mothers and fathers are bringing these little ones up here for dedication to give their little lives over to the living God. Father, the pastor and I will walk forward here and offer these children to you in a prayer of dedication. Bless them, our Father. We pray that you'll bless them to be your little servants. May they live long, happy lives here on earth and see the coming of the Lord Jesus. Not only that, may they live a long, healthy, happy life and be servants of yours. May you lead them. May you make preachers, singers, evangelists, missionaries. For tomorrow, out of these children, if there is a tomorrow to come, grant it, Lord. We'll dedicate them to you the best that we know how, according to thy scripture, that thou hast sent us, the Holy Word, which is written in the last book of the Bible. God will take out of the book of life, for that man, he will take one word out of this, or add one word to it. We realize then that Bible is the sacred word of God, and we cannot add one thing to it or take one thing from it. Therefore, Lord, we leave it just the way you give it to us, and teach it, and try to live it by your grace. As we dedicate these children as we brought them to Jesus in the days gone by. If he was here on earth tonight in a physical form, these mothers and fathers would rush up to his feet and bring them to one. And he'd lay his hands upon them and bless them. You're standing at the right hand of the majesty on high tonight, Lord Jesus. And we're left here at your service. We'll lay our hands upon them in prayer to you, that you'll take their little lives and use it to your glory. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask it. Amen. This is the little John Miles, the one we've all prayed about today. There he is with us tonight. Let us bow our heads.
And ask that the power of Almighty God God, who has given word of silence to Peter, will continue to bless her, and may her life be dedicated to you all the days of your life.
Hallelujah.
I ask you, Father. Lord, all right, little Lord. Every time we lay hands upon the Lord, it's also with a talent in young age, the same God. Bless the talent of these children, Lord. And now their lives are being dedicated to you by their parents. Soon, Lord, they'll be old enough to be baptized. When they begin to realize what's wrong and things we begin to do wrong, then they must repent and be baptized. Until that time comes, Lord, we dedicate them to you. May you use their talents to your glory. Use their lives for your own happy lives and serve you. We dedicate this little girl to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you. Oh, and may God be with you and ever bless you in everything you do.
Thank you, so cute. My girls are getting to be big now, so I just kind of have to. I used to ride them piggyback, but make it almost give me piggyback now. They're big. Becky especially. Big, big girl. Now, let us open up the word of the Lord unto Matthew, the 5th chapter. And we will read just a portion. And then I will draw from this, the Lord willing, a little text for about 15, 20 minutes. And then we'll have the communion and foot washing and baptism service will take us to about 9:30 then, or a little later, to get finished. I would like to begin from the 5th chapter at the 12th verse. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted the prophets which were before you. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and be trodden under the foot of man. Ye are the light of the world. A city that sets on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do man light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. I would like to take a subject from that last verse there, which is the 16th verse. Let your light so shine before man. Let your light so shine before man that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We find in the scriptures that there's two places that two different men speaking of justification. And one of them was Paul, and the other was Peter, St. Paul and St. Peter. And Paul was justifying Abraham by faith, and Peter was justifying him by works. Peter said that he was justified by his works. Paul said he was justified by his faith. Now, they did not contradict each other. They were looking at it from two different viewpoints. And Paul was speaking of Abraham's faith. That's what God saw in Abraham. And Peter was speaking of his works that spoke of his faith. So it is written, show me your works without your faith, and I'll show you my works by my faith. Now, therefore, Paul seen what was talking about what God saw, and Peter was talking about what man saw, and because if a man has faith, he will act like it, his life will show it to others.
Amen.
So, I'm going to want to speak on that tonight, letting our light shine. Now, just for these few minutes, I just don't want to get up here just to be seen or to be heard. That wouldn't be right. But maybe, God helping me, maybe we can speak some words to something that'll be edifying to us, that'll help us all. How that we could do better and live a better life. I'm sure that's what we were all here for, is to take correction and to get an understanding of what we can do to make us better Christians. If I have one thing in my life that I desire, is to be a better Christian than I am. And I'm sure that's the heart cry of every soul that's here tonight, is to be a better Christian.
Amen.
Some time ago, I was going down a road, and I was driving along at a pretty rapid speed, and watching as I usually do by myself driving. And it's a lonesome drive when you're driving by yourself. You can't turn the radio on unless you're some of these family networks where you can get religious music, because it's all things that would take the very spirit out of you. And wherever I go, after I've gotten a little old, I carry a little pad of paper. And when the Lord reveals something to me, I just jot it down. And I've even wrote on my gun stock in the woods with a bullet. And things like that, just to get a thought that is presented to me. Take a piece of tag out of my clothes or something and write on it. Something or another to keep the message in my mind. As I drove along down this road, I noticed a great, big, beautiful signboard. And usually, you know, they have a lot of things captured on these signboards, but I never noticed such things on this certain signboard. Usually they have pictures of half-dressed women or something other advertising a certain brand of cigarettes or whiskey or beer or something, a great shining signboard. But to my surprise, at my first glance, it attracted my attention because it wasn't all smothered up with something in it. The snuff wasn't on. And I gave back to see it was a beautiful board. And sitting in a correct place, just where when you turn this corner, you can't keep from seeing the sign. And to my surprise, it has one word, your coffee, hungry. Just hungry, that's all there was. Then I noticed a little bitty letters down at the bottom of the board says 3 miles ahead. Hungry. 3 miles ahead. Well, I began to study about that. The people wasn't so much usually as they got a restaurant ahead. They're trying to outsell the other fellow. The picture of big sizzling steaks and so forth, and when you go in, you usually don't find anything like advertised. But just an advertisement. But this seemed to have a different approach. And we know that the day that we're living today is pays to advertise. And we find out that these people who are making such big progress in business are great men of advertising. They put it on television. They smear it on boards. Everywhere they can to advertise their products. Smoke this one, not a cough in a carload, and the thinking man's filter and some other man's pip or something like that. Stay lively longer with your beer, all stuff like that. It's advertising. And they write off larger income tax just for advertisement, and it certainly pays off. So if it pays off for that, I begin to think, then why won't Christianity pay off if it's advertising?
Amen.
Well, I thought, then, what is advertising? You've got to have something that is a little different from what the rest of them got. If it's just so common like the things of the world, it never attracts the attention of the people. Now, if a man had been looking for an automobile, he would have went on past that sign. But if he'd been hungry, we've been looking for that sign. So, I believe that the Christian is God's billboard.
Amen.
I believe that each one of us is God's billboard.
Right.
And we don't have to do so much carrying on about it as we do just simply live such a life that will make the people hungry to be like it.
Hallelujah.
Now, I noticed on this billboard, this certain one, it didn't claim any nothing but just ask the question if you're hungry. And you cannot tell anybody anything to eat unless they are hungry. The first thing that advertisement does, the individual passing by has to see it. Now, the only way that the world will ever see Christ is when they see it in you and me.
Amen.
That's the only way they'll ever see Christ. Their conscience are numb to the sunsets, to the call of the birds, to the leaves and the grass and the flowers and the music and the message and so forth that we enjoy after we have found Christ. But until we get to a place that we display Christ. Now remember that. Each one of you from tonight on, remember you are God's billboards. And you're God's advertising agent. That the world will look at you to see what Christ is. So we don't want to smear a big lot of stuff on there that testify about things that we really are not. Let's first be that.
Amen.
And when we be that, then the world will see Christ in you and me. The first thing is any advertisement, the person has to see it. Then the next thing, they have to want it. Now, if they see it and don't want it, then that's different. But you haven't put a vain advertisement out. But if they first have got to see it, and then we've got to make it so attractive to them.
Amen.
Well, I hope they see that.
Hallelujah.
The attractiveness of salvation.
Amen.
What is birth to the person? We've got to attract the Word.
Amen.
To Christ. And the gospel does have an attractiveness.
Amen.
It has it to those who are hungry for God. It only attracts those who are hungry and thirsty, and that's the ones who are alcohol. No man can come to me except my Father draws him. But there's so many that the Father has drawn and are hungering and thirsty to find God and don't know where to find him. Because those who are exposed to these billboards is so smelly out with the things in the world so they can't see where they've got any more than they've got before they come
home. Yep.
They live like the world, they talk like the world. They sing the same songs the world has. They dress like the world. I mean, especially in the female sex. And they act like the world. They go to the worldly places. They hand the world entertainers. Someone said to me the other day about a certain minister. And I love the man. There's no doubt the Lord is a great man. He said that, he said that you were a holy Roman to me, that I was a holy Roman. And I said, well, I don't think I am, but I said, I want to be holy, and if the Lord ever told me to roll, I guess I would roll, but I want to be holy anyhow. Live a life of holiness means cleanness before God. And so he said, well, that you run out overseas and run like that and made yourself a missionary, no church sanction, and you just made yourself a handmade missionary. Well, I said, if I made a handmade missionary, it would never attract the attention of the world because that they're not looking for that.
Amen.
They're looking for Christ. And we find out that those men and people that think those things, there is two different classes. God has two different classes. There are men who God uses to stay home and marry the sick and bury the dead and kiss the babies and marry the young and so forth like that. Many of those men don't know what it is to pack a sword and get out there on a two-handed sword on the front line. They don't know what a battle is to fight against the enemy. They get out there and they're smart men, theologians, great men, who can stand with, put a sermon out with just those touch steps and also can talk with such language to the West, they hardly know what they were saying. They got degrees in college. But that's all right when you're talking to an intellectual group that's just looking for a church home. But when you get out there on the battlefront, where those men have more than that, they've got to see the power of Almighty God in manifestation. Oh, we will never sell it to them. They've got to see Christ in the resurrection.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Those men don't know what it is to hold a two-handed sword.
Amen.
Toe-to-toe with the enemy there. Or devils and witch doctors and everything else stand there challenging all over
the
house.
The Lord,
man, you read that Bible, says, if Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, then we're letting see the Holy Spirit for time that I can do it.
Amen.
Then we can take a scholarship and do that. It takes the power and resurrection of Jesus Christ to produce that. Yes. And now that's what hungry natives look for. They've got to see it and they've got to want it. And that's the same thing this nation has got. That's the reason tonight that we got all these warnings of atomic law. It's because the nation has seen it, this nation has, and don't want it.
Amen.
And that's the reason that divine judgment is upon them.
Yep.
It's because that we are in within the bounds. I see where our president, Mr. Kennedy, I think Tom, I believe his name is, Kennedy, that sat down for this, so many of them, officers down for this segregational war. We sat down 400 and something down in the south to stop this segregational war. And when he ended up by his full force, to send them over, he had exactly 666. It's in Time Magazine. If the people's only spiritual to wake up and see what is 666. Exactly what they had. That's in this month's time. Now, we find out that until people begin to want God, until people begin to thirst, Jesus said, blessed are they that do hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Now you've got the hunger and thirst for it. We're Christ's little boys, and Christ is our sponsor. So this sponsorship is by Christ, and He is giving us our life to sponsor Him. Now, what kind of a person would you be if you sponsored somebody? What kind of a person ought we to be if we are sponsored by Christ? He gives us salvation. He gives us our healing. He gives us our health and strength. He gives us our food. He gives us our home. Then we are sponsored by Christ.
Amen.
And Pentecostal people who fill with the Holy Ghost is sponsors of Jesus Christ. They have been sponsored
Amen.
By Jesus Christ and given the Holy Ghost to be an example to the people.
Amen.
What are we to be today? What should the church be today? We should be so in such a condition that would cause all the world to be more to be righteous. Because man, go down the street and say, there's a man, I might disagree with him on his religious doctrine, but I'll tell you one thing, that is a genuine Christian. Or these women going down the street, say, she may look old fashioned. She may not be like the rest of these women, you see, but there's one Christian in this town, if there's one, there she goes.
Amen.
The parish who are sponsored by Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Oh, what kind of a person would think we be if we are his billboard and we're sponsored by him?
Amen.
Then in Christ is the one where we get our life and we get our strength and we get all that we have comes from Christ. He is our sponsor. Oh, I'm so thankful for that. So we must be like him. Be careful what we do, what we say, what we do in our daily life, because we are sponsored by Christ. How are we to walk if we're sponsored by Christ? What are we to say if we're sponsored by Christ? If someone says evil against us, what must we say if we're sponsored by Christ? We must be like Christ, isn't that right? Now, there's only one thing, that another thing we must do, not only thing, but another thing that we ministers must do. We must preach a gospel that's appealing to the hungry.
Amen.
Now, if we preach a social gospel, and say that, well, you ought to come join my denomination. We got 4,000 more last year in our organization. That's not it. But if you come to my church or become a member of my church, we'll see what you're taken care of in the, when you get old. And you be a faithful member, and it's like an insurance policy. You'll be taken care of when you get old. We'll see to that. That still isn't the attraction. The thing that we want to do is to preach a gospel that appeals to a hungry world. Now, how can you appeal to a hungry world that's wanting to see where they come from, who they are, and where they're going unless you preach the gospel that raises Christ up in a living atmosphere right here around us now? We cannot do it. There's no way we could join the Masons, the Oddfellows, or any other lodge.
join some lads, it'd be just as well. But we're to preach a gospel that's appealing to hungry people.
Amen.
That'll catch those who are hungry and thirsting for righteousness. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Now, how will it be? The righteous shall be filled. Filled with what?
Amen.
The Holy Spirit. The Bible says Stephen was a man full. Full of what? Full of power. Full of faith. Full of love. Full of the Holy Ghost. That's what made him what he was, is because he was filled with the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
He was a real advertising board for Christ.
Hallelujah.
When he stood there that morning at the Sanhedrin court,
Lord,
and they accused him. They said, this man, what all he was doing.
Hallelujah.
And he stood alone, just him alone, out before the great Sanhedrin court. Maybe 2,000 or 3,000 Jews, or 5,000. Standing there with a pointy finger. The Bible says when he walked out there that his face looked like an angel.
Amen.
That doesn't mean he had a light shining from his face. An angel would be a messenger that knew what he was talking about. Stephen walked out there not afraid of death.
Amen.
He wasn't afraid of nothing. Because he learned what he was talking about.
Hallelujah.
Paul said, I don't know who I have believed. Now I'm persuaded he's able to keep that which I've committed to him. But Stephen walked out there before that Sunday report like a sheep among a pack of wolves, with hiding for him his blood. And they accused him at point of accusing Peter at him. What will you do? He said, man and brothers, God's glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was yet in Macedonia before he was called out. When he had brought down all the history of Abraham and how the through him would bring in the Gentiles. And when he got down to a certain place, look at him, full of the Holy Ghost. They waiting, just couldn't wait till they could get their hands on him. He said, you stiff-necked, uncircumcised, the heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Ghost like your fathers did go to you.
Hallelujah.
He was God's advertising board. And when they stoned him to death, going outside the city and beating him to death with stones, when he was dying, he raised his head to heaven and asked forgiveness for those who were stoning him.
Amen.
The thing that Jesus did at the cross, then God seen his little advertisement board being taken down. Stephen looked up to heaven and said, behold, I see heaven's open, and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he fell asleep in the arms of God. He was an advertisement board for a hungry world. You say, well, how many was there? He said, there's maybe 5,000. How many of them got saved? There was one. He never accepted it right then, but years later.
Oh, yeah.
To Christ.
Hallelujah.
Because one man was willing to give his life to be an advertising board for Jesus Christ. What ought we to do today? No matter, we don't have to have big audiences, we don't have to preach to 10,000, we don't have to even preach, we can be God's advertising board. How do you know that your life might not start some young man on the gospel, some of the older men, some older women, start some young man on the field out there and win 10,000 souls to Christ?
Amen.
It's because that he saw Christ in you. If you presented Christ to him in the simple power of the gospel, yes, I think we need a Christ. Yes, sir. The only way we see Christ is when he reflects in each other. I see Christ in you. You see him in me. That's how we watch Christ. I come to the meeting. I start preaching. I watch the people. You can see whether they're interested or not. Just a few minutes, you look over the audience. You can tell whether you're bored or whether you're not. See? And the first thing you know, we see him sitting there, hanging on to every word, under expectation. See? I'm seeing Christ reflected in that person.
Amen.
Because he's hungering and thirsting for God. Then me preaching the gospel, he sees the Christ reflecting in me.
Amen.
I see Christ reflecting in him. That means Christ is in our midst.
Amen.
Amen. Hungering and thirsting. I watch the audience, how they take it. Say something and watch what effect it takes on them. Watch your face like that. Full of joy, they're ready right then to receive something. That's Christ. I see Christ reflecting in that person because the gospel, the simple gospel of Christ, is taking a hold in that heart.
Amen.
Because they're hungering and thirsty. And I show a billboard here, an advertising. What kind of advertising? Not just some theology. Not just some man that's preaching. But you're a Christ that means what to say to us. For he's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Thank you.
They see that power of God move, watching over the buildings and see, pick out the people, discern their hearts, heal the sick,
or reveal the secrets of their heart, unstop the deaf ears, and make the blind see.
Amen.
What is the peace? Lord. And the people see it, and they rally and they praise God. I watch it in them when they're praising God. They watch it out here when it goes this way. So through each other, we see Christ respect his life. Now, no matter how much I can reflect in here, unless it reflects on you too, we'll never understand it. The gospel will be of none effect unless somebody was there to take it. There'll be many who won't take it, but the ones that will take it, it'll reflect in them. There's maybe 5,000 that morning with the execution of Stephen, but there was one that reflected in him, even at the end of his life. He said, I'm not even worthy to be called one of the saints. He said, because I persecuted the church of God even to death. Gives consent to the stoning of that martyr Stephen. Never did get away from Paul. He said, I persecuted the church even to death. See, he never got away from him because he's seen Christ reflecting. How did Stephen do it? He never performed any miracle, although he knew that Christ was a miracle performer. He knew all these powers and things, but what did he do? He just presented his life in such a way that they seen it was the power of Christ.
Thank you.
You may never see a vision. You may never put your hands on the sick person and feel the charge of Almighty God make a person of a man turn back to life again. You may never see instead of one and three or four rainbows. You may never see his image. You may never hear his voice. But still, you can be a soul.
That's the man.
Jesus Christ, while life has been so purely separated from the world, lift up the dirty things around your life. What a pure thing that is. Oh, God, hungry hearts, a hunger and thirst to be left.
Hallelujah.
You're the salt of the earth, because the salt has lost its savior. Wherewith shall it be salted? That's right, hungering and thirsting. Let your light so shine before man that they may see your good works. See what you do and glorify the Father what's in heaven. Hungering, signboards, reflecting, wonderful. Yes, sir. Now, also, we don't want to do this. We don't want to make a quick sale out of it. You say, well, I got to go to life by hallelujah, the whole world. You can't do that. That's a quick sale. If we do that, the product's not much good. If you just make a good sale, I know one time, I live good for 2 weeks, actually, I was converted. I live 2 weeks, that's perfect life. That's a quick sale. That's like a chatty call we just had. There was a bunch of vitamins wrapped up together, and it didn't last for a little while. It finally went out. You want to be a Christian? Not a quick sale. But let your light so shine. If you walk up to a man and ask him to receive Christ, he laughs in your face. Don't go and say, well, there's nothing to it, or he would accept it. No, that's a hatty call, sir. We're not selling hatty call. We're selling the power of the living God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. If the world hated you, they hated Christ before they hated you. For the same cross drove him to the cross. But we're his representatives, we're his billboards. We'll advertise him. You don't have to have a lot of fancy stuff, a lot of Dr. PhD, the great sanctified church, and so on, so on, so on, so on, found it way back, and so on, so on, so on, so on. We have so on, so on, so on, so on. Yes! Make them hungry! That man! That's going to cross your life. That mind will see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven.
Praise
that's it. Don't be smothered up for the trash of the world. Don't try to advertise yourself like somebody said, well, I belong to so-and-so. This big church is the biggest church in the city. We got a person near our neighborhood up there. They left a little church up here on the highway. They go to a bigger church because they said a better class of people went there. A better class of people. See, they don't know their brain becomes dusty. It's smudged up in the things of the world.
Amen.
A better class of people. What is a good class of people? A people that's born of the Spirit of God.
Yeah.
They're so poor they don't know where their food is coming from.
Yeah.
That's the only class of people that's worth anything. They're the people that's born again.
Yeah.
When Jesus comes, what kind of a class of people did he have to get? Uneducated. Fishermen. Man, Peter, apostle, the great saint, who was given the keys to the heaven, could not even sign his own name. Stuff with fish from the old fish folks and they old greasy apron on. Jesus took that type of a man. Today they're kicking out of church if he's coming.
Hallelujah.
So worship. See, the people are looking for Christ. And did you know the devil lives in Christ?
Yeah.
You know what caused the first battle in heaven? Was when Lucifer set up a greater class of people. Got a better class of angels, he thought. Bigger kingdom, a more brighter, shinier kingdom than Michael had. And he was kicked out of heaven. See where class comes from? Stay away from class.
Hallelujah.
The hungry don't want Christ. The hungry wants food. With the world, they want reality. A man is dying. A man that knows he's got to meet God, don't care about any Christ. He wants to find God. He wants to find assurance that when he comes down the river, there'll be somebody there to meet him and show him the way. He wants something that anchors him now that knows, I know my Redeemer liveth.
Hallelujah.
And the life saves his
faith
in the earth. I'm persuaded that there's nothing present that which is future shall come. Hunger, perils, or anything else can separate us from the love of God that's in Christ.
Hallelujah.
That's what they want. They want something, not a make-believe, something to sell quick and get over here and join this church. I want something that, say, well, I'll go down and join the church. I'll have a consecration service. The pastor will baptize me secretly and take me into the church. No, no. That's not it. That's why I'm quick sales stuff. It won't last very long. I want real old-fashioned conversion.
Hallelujah.
A man or a woman is willing to walk out and say, I'm wrong. I want to become like my neighbor. I want to be a woman like my neighbor. I want to be a man like my neighbor. I want to walk so godly before men that people think of me the same as they did of him. I want to be like Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
I remember in closing, I just keep on. But in closing, I want to say this. We're not his salesmen. We are his billboard.
Hallelujah.
Don't think we're his salesmen. You don't need any salesmanship. Just billboards. I used to work for the public service company. And we had this mobile lamp come out. They had a contest on it. Everyone who sold the most lamp got a prize and so forth, and a certain percent they got for selling. Well, every person, every employee had to be a salesman for these lamps. Well, I got to thinking of something like this. If the product is guaranteed to me, the company guaranteed the lamp to me. Now, if that lamp's any good, it'll sell itself. And if it is no good, then I'm putting something over on the public that's not right. I never did believe in that. I don't believe in these high-pressure sales and stuff. That's the reason I don't believe in religion. If I've got a product that's good, it'll sell itself. That's right, it'll sell itself. So, you know what I've done? I went down there and I said to the superintendent, I said, are these lamps absolutely guaranteed? Guaranteed, exactly. They will not turn, no sir. And we're guaranteed, the workmanship and everything is guaranteed, yes. I seem to make a beautiful soft light. Any woman would appreciate them in the room. You know what I've done? I just loaded me up about 200 of them. And I started around to everybody I know, said, what do you want this morning, Billy? Did I pay my bill? I had to collect bills. I said, oh, you paid your bill, I'm going to make you another one. I said, I got a lamp here. Oh, I can't afford it. Now, wait a minute. Yes, they were asking about it. I just got such a load of them, I want to unload one in your house. You just keep it a couple of weeks and enjoy it, and I'll come back by and pick it up. We're supposed to advertise these things. Just take them out. So I just set it up in your house. Well, Billy, I just couldn't buy it. I ain't got the money to buy it. Didn't even ask you to buy it, did it? I said, I just want to set it in your house. Let you enjoy it. There's no kidding. Not a bit of it. You know me. I'll come back by and pick it up. I'll pick it up again in 2 weeks. All right, I'll be right by and pick it up. All thing I want you to do is this. I want to unload off the truck, get a place to set it. I've got to unload so many of them here. I'm going to get it off my truck. I didn't want you to buy it. I didn't ask you to buy it. I just asked that you set here. Well, what if it breaks? That's my responsibility. I'm the one who stands behind it. I know the lamp would sell itself. I know it was a real product. I set the lamp in the house. I didn't take up 10 out of the 200. I won the contest because why? Why? The lamp sold itself. You won't see it and see what it is, then you want it. It'll sell itself. That's the same thing. We don't have to have big organizations to sell Christ. We don't have to have highly educated preachers and high polished people with mayors and different things of the city. What we have to have is Christ. And Christ sells itself. You put Christ into a man's heart. You don't have to tell him you have to join this organization. That means he's already sold on the product. Are you hungry? Blessed are they that hunger and thirst. We're fixing to come to the communion table now for those who have never yet, maybe have never taken Christ in your life. If you are a Christian, then you're hungering. I've been a Christian 31 years now. And each day I hunger more for Christ than I did when I started.
Amen.
He gets sweeter as the days go by.
And I watch these little billboards as I see them go down the street, watching out there in the hospital, watching in the hour of her death, watching out there when they're at a showdown, watch that little lady, how she holds herself there as a real genuine saint. I stood at the counter here not long ago, watched the little lady. I started turning around and said, do you know Jesus is your Savior? And the boy ducked his head down and out the door. So you can arrest him. There you are! Oh, she didn't know me, but I know her. I know her. I watch her. She's married now. She's married with a preacher. And he's just in time. So, that's it, you see. I like to watch that billboard. I like to watch it. It makes me hungry to get to the place where there, we can eat spiritual food, because I know that girl is sitting along the church.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
Yeah, you can tell. The Bible said, although Peter and John also healed that man at the gate called Beautiful, he was lame from his mother's wounds. He didn't have much strength. He couldn't stand up very long. Peter had to hold him up to get him to walk. Healed from his mother's wounds. And when they took him in before the council and forbid them to preach in the name of Jesus, and they perceived that they were ignorant, the Bible said. These apostles, John and Peter, were ignorant and unlearned men. They didn't know any great theology. They were fishermen. Couldn't sign their names. But said they had to take notice to them that they had been with Jesus.
Oh, all right.
What were they?
Billboards.
Billboards. Or we could go on. God help us to be billboards. May this grand tabernacle, here's the place consecrated and dedicated to God, may it produce those billboards across